Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Scripture reading, congregation, for this morning hour can be found in the 10th Psalm, Psalm 10. But first we will sing from Psalter 150, stanzas 1 and 4. O God, give thou ear to my plea, and hide not thyself from my cry. O hearken and answer thou me, as restless and weary I sigh. 1 and 4 of Psalter 150.
Repeat, scripture reading for this morning can be found in the book of Psalms and thereof Psalm 10. But first we read the law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his man's servant, nor his maid servant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Psalm 10. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God, but it is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous, the judgments are far above out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. He croucheth and humbleth himself, that the poor may fall at by his strong ones. He hath said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face, he will never see it. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thine hand, forget not the humble. Wherefore doth the wicked contemn God? He hath said in his heart, thou wilt not require it. Thou hast seen it, for thou beholdest mischief and spite. To requite it with thy hand, the poor committeth himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. Break thou the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness till thou find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his hand. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear, to judge the fatherless and the oppressed, and the man of the earth may no more oppress.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and all-knowing God, who dwellest above and we upon thy footstool, and to whom thou wilt have us to pray, and to lay all our needs, which by nature we feel not, and we know not, and we attempt to satisfy in our own strength, to give unto us ourselves the credit. Lord, that thou may humble us in this morning hour, to give us a little sight who we are in thy sight, that we may know who that thou art, our maker and our creator, who art dwelling in thy majesty, and we, as those that have rebelled against thee and our father Adam, and our life that does show that we still have no desire to walk according to all thy ways. O Lord, look upon us in this morning hour, when we still may come up to thy house, when we still may have thy Sabbath day, when we still may have thy word, and when thy judgments which are upon the nations are not yet come so far that we are without thy ordinances. Lord, that thou may look upon us in this day of grace, in this time that we are still walking upon the path to eternity, a broad road by nature. Lord, that thou, from thy holy dwelling place, may look down from above in this morning hour, when we have ceased for a day, for a moment in this world, from all the labors of thy hands according to thy own command. Lord, then we cannot give unto ourselves the substance that we so stand in need of. We have the form that is from thee, and by common grace we are given still to come up and still in our homes to read thy word, to bow our knees, to supplicate unto thee. But our lips, they can approach unto thee, but by nature our heart that is so far from thee. Lord, then we are dependent upon thee to give unto us that blessing that we cannot miss as we travel to eternity, young and old together. And we ask it of thee, Lord, in this morning hour, that thou from thy high and holy place may look down to behold the sons of men, and yet to have compassion amidst well-deserved wrath. For our sins, they rise up against us, prevailing day by day. Thou knowest them when we do not. Lord, then it is for a people upon this world, sometimes by moments a wonder, that they are not yet cut off and cast away into that eternal abyss. Wilt thou show it unto each and every one, young and old together, that we may receive that place of true humility in the sight of a holy and a righteous God. And when in a special way we have entered in this day and in this service, in a week of preparation for thy holy supper, which is to be administered in the midst of us, if thou wilt give it in the week to come. Lord, and thou knowest that by nature we have no desire to examine ourselves, for we have only that deceit of the prince of darkness, which says unto us, to continue on in our darkness and in our blindness, that all shall be well. O Lord, that thou may look on us then, and give when there has never been a consideration in our life, whether we are young or old, whether we have come up for many years or few, when there has never been in our life a serious consideration of that place from which we have come and the journey upon which we are traveling, that destination to which we are going. Oh, then we ask of thee, Lord, that thou may by thy Spirit come and to say unto us in this day and in this week, thus far and no further, that our eyes may go open to our lost condition, that we may be given by thy Spirit to cry out, bring me out of the battle, for I am sorely wounded. Lord, that thou may work and awaken sin-sick souls, dead in trespasses and in sins upon our journey, to a great and ever-ending eternity, that thou may remember also in a special way thy own flock. There is a church militant here below. We live in the midst of the church visible, but therein is dwelling a church invisible. Lord, we do not know who they are, but thou knowest all of thine own. Thou knowest the children, the infants, the young men, and the fathers in grace. O Lord, thou knowest where they are. Thou knowest not only the state, but thou knowest also the condition. Oh, then it can be that they are in a way of backsliding from thee and from thy word, that they are not able to bring themselves in the way again. But they must say, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. O Lord, seek thy servant. Wilt thou be the first and the last? Wilt thou continue that work which thou hast begun? And wilt thou not leave thy children to themselves? Wilt thou remember also the little ones in whom there is the principle of grace, but those that do not know the right hand from the left? Oh, that thou may instruct them, that thou may teach them in the way, that thou may lead them further, that thou may bring them to an end of all their own righteousness, and that thou may open unto them the riches that are to be found and that are to be received in thine only begotten Son, in whom that thou art well pleased. Oh, without thee, Lord, we can do nothing. We are dependent upon thee in this hour, and not only for the words to speak, for the matter in our heart, for the strength in our body, for the clearness of our mind, but especially we are dependent upon thee for the blessing. Lord, we ask thee to make room where there is no room, to plant seeds there thou hast plowed up the fallow ground, that thou would give the watering, that thou would make thy work to grow, that there may be an increase in the knowledge of thee by a true saving exercise of faith, and that there may be that comfort that is to be experienced, that only comfort in life and in death, and an entrance more and more into that rest that belongeth unto the people of God. Wilt thou supply for all the needy in this world? There are those that have relatives that are in the hospitals. There are those that recover from accidents, from falls. There are those that have needs that are known to thee. We ask thee, Lord, that thou may help all afflicted ones, all those that have difficulties of the mind and of the body, that to receive treatments, that to receive counseling, those that are helped by nurses and by doctors, that thou may remember all those that come to the aid of all that are needy and oppressed. May thou give to them strength and wisdom and help and all from above, that also in the midst of this world, the needy may experience what it is to receive help, and that the soul may thereby also go out with cries unto that greater physician, that they may receive the healing of the soul. Lord, that thou may look upon our youth, our children. We do enter into this week of examination, of preparation for thy holy supper. And then, Lord, thy people, then they are able to testify that it is a work that begins with the Most High God. And yet we are called, each one, to seek and to remember our Creator in the days of our youth. And then how often then they can testify that it was in the days of their youth that the Lord has given unto them that beginning. And that grace of thee that was planted, the fear of the Lord in their young hearts. Oh, could it please thee when they are not able because they have no church right, or when they are not able to come around about thy table, or that there still may be those that have by thee a divine right, that in thy time they may come, O Lord, that they also in the days of their childhood may not be strangers of the experience of life and of faith and of grace. O wilt thou give a cry in the need of the young souls for the true and the living God, a holy jealousy that may be born and may it be in this morning hour for the blessed portion of thy people in the midst of a wicked and a perverse generation, a perishing world and a dying life. Lord, look upon us. Help us. Help us in the preaching. Help us in the hearing. Hear us for the sake of him whom thou always heareth. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 235, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Lord, my petition heed. Now help me in my need. My Savior be. I am thy servant, Lord. My trust is in thy word. Mercy to me afford, I cry to thee. The last collection today is for the carpet and the pews. Psalter 235, all stanzas. Beloved congregation, next week, the Lord willing, then we hope to commemorate in our midst once again the Holy Supper of the Lord. What is the purpose for which that Holy Supper has been instituted? That is concerning faith. That is because of the weakness of faith. Thus, the Lord knows about the weakness of faith. And in the Lord's Supper, the Lord is caring for His children whose faith that is weak. It is necessary, we know, to have preparation. It is necessary to examine ourselves. For what? Well, it is necessary for us to examine ourselves, not whether our faith is weak or strong, but whether faith exists, whether it has ever been planted, and what is now the object of faith. In whom have we believed? And then not only faith, but as we read it in our form, also our life. What is the resolution of our heart? Not whether our life is pure or no, but whether there is a resolution, a desire, towards God and towards man. In the last weeks, we have spoken much about faith. We have heard that there is a rest that remaineth unto the people of God. And we have heard how it is that a man enters into that rest, that they entered not in because of unbelief. We have heard of that admonition of the Lord. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. And we have heard of the omniscience of the Lord, that He knows the inmost recesses, the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Thus He knows also whether there is faith, whether there is unbelief. Thus we can hide nothing from the Lord. Today we wish to speak once again about faith. And why? Because that is the essential point of examination for the Holy Supper of the Lord. And it is also that point over which that true church has often so much trouble, that they are asking with Newton, that they say, am I His or am I not? Thus that church is longing that they may hear something about that faith of God's true people, what it is, how it acts, what is the power, what are the fruits also of that faith. Oh, the Lord, open His word. the Lord uncover our hypocrisy. The Lord convert men. The Lord comfort his people. Our text that can be found in that portion that was read to you, Psalm 10, verse 14, only this part. The poor committeth himself unto thee. So far the words of our text. And we write under these words, the saving act of faith. First, by whom it is exercised. It says, the poor committeth himself unto thee. And second, in what this saving act consists, the poor committeth himself unto thee. Thus, the saving act of faith, first, by whom it is exercised, and second, in what it consists. Why, congregation, do we say the saving act of faith? Why do we not say the act of faith, but we say the saving act of faith? That is because we have heard that faith has various acts, and that faith also has various objects, because when we believe, then we believe something. Thus, it has an object. And we have heard that faith that proceeds in an orderly way. Thus, there is a faith that saves, as it were, from the side of God, that is the implanting of faith, that is the habit of faith, that is the giving of faith, that is the ability to exercise faith. And when that is planted, when is that planted, children? You learn that in catechism already, in school maybe. When is that faith planted? That is in the new birth, when we begin to believe. Oh, has the Lord ever given to you, boys and girls, a new heart that you have begun to believe? If the Lord, he gives you faith in its essence, in its being, that will never, never be taken away from you. That can lie under ashes, so that can barely be detected anymore. But God is not a man that he should lie, neither is he the Son of Man that he should repent. A congregation, that faith, that is not felt, that is not experienced in the heart, to be saving. We say the saving act of faith. That's what do we wish to speak about today. Well, we wish to speak about that act of faith that actually gives a person an entrance into God's rest. That act of faith which saves the soul feelingly, believingly. That act of faith by which the truth of the matter in our life may be known, yes or no. That act of faith that gives a man an interest in that ordinance of that holy supper of the Lord. And now that act of faith, that saving act of faith, that can be found in the words of our text. The poor committeth himself unto thee. What is the act? Our children, young people can tell me, that is to commit. That is the act that saves the soul. Thus, if we want to know what that is, then we need to dig a little bit. We need to find out what that word means, to commit, that we may know what is actually that saving act of faith. But congregation, it won't have very much meaning for us if we do not begin first with the subject. Because the subject that is intimately connected to the act, that is, the one who is doing that committing. Solomon says, the full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. We would say, children, eating is eating. Ah, there is a great difference, is there not? In the eating of a hungry soul and the eating of a full soul? Is there not a great difference in the way that that eating is experienced? Is there not a great difference how that meal, how that food is received? And what are now the effects of that eating? A great difference between that hungry soul and that full soul? Is it not so that for the one that eating, that meal that is so fitting, and for the other that it is not fitting at all, but that he actually has to force himself to eat against his very nature? Or is it not so that for one there is a great relishing and the other there is a loathing? Is it not so that for one there is a precious suitability which the other does not know anything of? The full soul loatheth in honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Oh, we live in a day wherein the suitability of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is so little experienced. Why? Well, because there is a missing of that first part. And when that first part is missing, and then that second part cannot be known. The poor committeth himself unto thee. Thus, if we will know what it means now, what David is speaking about, what it means to commit himself, then we must begin with that poverty. Otherwise, you understand that we confound the meaning of that committing. Oh, there is no man who is under the word that is not admonished to commit himself to come unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Not a man who is under the word. But congregation, if we come as a rich man, we are going to be turned away. The rich young ruler was turned away. The Lord Jesus says, go. Then he had something first to do. Pharisees and scribes were turned away. Why? He said, you have something to do. Go and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. What does Paul say? For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not committed themselves unto the righteousness of God. Oh, poverty. The poor committed. Poverty, that is the preparation for this committing. That is the preparation for that saving act of faith. And without the knowledge of the first act of faith, then we cannot come to the knowledge of that second act of faith, because Christ says the whole, they need not a physician. Poverty, that is actually the first act of faith. The first faith, that is making poor. The first faith, the first work of the Spirit, that is a room making work. We heard also recently from John Owen, and he speaks about the steps, and we spoke about that first one. That with that faith that is enjoined unto men in the gospel. And what does he say? The first step, that man is required to believe that there is no salvation to be had in himself. That is, congregation, that first faith. That is that poverty-making faith that needs to be experienced if ever that we will commit ourselves to him. Because that committing, that is not the act of a rich man. That committing, that is the act of a poor man. The poor committeth himself unto thee. What does Christ say to his disciples? He says, ye believe in God, believe also in me. Thus, that first faith, that is to believe in God. And believing in God, congregation, that makes a man poor. That makes a man poor. Why? Because when we believe in God, then we believe that he has made us. Then we believe that we have left him. When we believe in God, then we believe that we are without God. Oh, do you believe in God? That you are without God in this world? And does that then make you poor? What did Ruth say? She says, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. Oh, then she stood on the outside of the people. And she could not bring herself on the inside of the people. And that was her poverty. Or has that first faith ever made you to be poor? And why are we poor? And how do we become poor when we believe in God? Because we believe in His word, in His law, in His law. And that law, when it is brought home by the Spirit of the Lord, that is making a man poor. Why? Because it is opening to him all his debt, the greatness of that debt. Oh, remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. Oh, did the opening of the law of God ever begin to show unto you your poverty, that there is a debt that you owe to your Maker that you are never, never able to pay. And not only such a debt, but also a nature that is the poverty-making work to open to a man not only what he has done, but who he is. Who he is. So that he experiences that he is not able to keep the least part of that holy law of God. Oh, that first faith. Ye believe in God. That is congregation making a poor man, because they believe his word. They believe his word. Nor can they deliver themselves. Solomon, he says, the destruction of the poor is their poverty. Is their poverty. That is the experience of the soul of the people, that they are not able to deliver themselves out of that debt, because they have a nature that loves sin, that continues in sin, because they are dead in trespasses and in sins. And so an instruction in their poverty. What does Christ say? Blessed people. Blessed, he says, are the poor in spirit. But they do not feel so blessed. No, they feel just the opposite. They feel so miserable. Miserable. Why? Because they believe. Because they believe the word of God that says, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. They believe it. No, not only with a historical faith, but they believe it with a true saving faith. That is what makes them so miserable. That is what makes them go over this world, not being able anymore to enjoy this world, to joy in all the joy, the happiness, the so-called happiness that men in this world do glory in. They have to die. How do they know they have to die? Because they believe the word of God. They believe in God. They have to die. And they cannot die. Why? Because of that first faith. Congregation, they believe there is a people that are happy. They believe there is a people, they have everything. Everything in life and in death. They believe there are a people. They have blessings temporal and eternal. Blessings spiritual. Blessings heavenly. And they cannot come among them. They cannot come among them. Why not? Because they are lepers. Because from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, it is with me wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. No, they are not allowed among them. Because they have to cry out, unclean, unclean. Oh, they believe. Yes, they believe there is a rest that remaineth unto the people of God. All of this, they are so jealous, but they have no rest. They have no rest day nor night. They seek a rest, but they cannot find it. They seek it by way of the law of God. But they only become more and more miserable. More and more empty. Poorer and poorer. They have a nice family. They have a loving wife. They have a loving husband. And yet they feel so alone. So alone. Oh, they have every blessing. A home, a business, prosperity in the midst of this world. And yet they feel so poor and so miserable. Why? Because of that first faith. Of that first faith. Because they believe in God and they love Him and they love Him, but they have to miss Him. They have to miss Him, and that makes them miserable as they go over this world. And what does Solomon say? He says, the poor useth entreaties. That is the life of the people. The life of the people. That is not the same every day. No, that is one day more than another day. But it does not go away. It does not go away. Oh, then they are learning to beg. A beggar, boys and girls. A beggar, when he begs. He begs when he is truly poor. Different. Than a rich man. Why? Because if he receives nothing, he does not eat. And then he has to die. Or maybe you have read that story one time of that beggar. And when he has gone to that door, and then that door was being closed upon him, and then he took his foot and he put it in the door. Why? Why? Because he had to receive something. Oh, that is the life of that people. Oh, Lord, I will not let thee go except that thou bless me. And now what does the Lord say? He says that the needy shall not always be forgotten. Nor shall that expectation of the poor perish forever. But let us sing first. Psalter 19, 1 through 4. Why dost thou stand afar, O Lord, in our distress? And why dost thou conceal thyself when troublous times oppress? 1 through 4 of Psalter number 19. our second thought in what that saving act of faith consists. The poor committeth himself unto thee. Thus he committeth. What is that? To commit. Then we say we must dig a little into that word. And that word that means to lose, to neglect, to forsake, to leave behind, or to abandon. Thus, what does that speak of? That speaks about losing, leaving behind a burden. That speaks about neglecting or forsaking a debt. That is to leave that debt, to leave that burden completely with someone else, so that that is left behind, neglected, forsaken. That is to be relieved of that burden. There is such a thing. Do you believe that? There is such a thing. There are those who have experienced such a thing. That burden that is real. That is real. Only see the effect that that burden has upon the true people of the Lord. The effect upon the mind. The effect upon the body, the effect upon the soul. Only see how such a person is going over this world. Oh, that burden that is real. But congregation, so is the lifting of that burden. That can be without any change in the outward circumstances of a person, and yet the relief that is experienced in that soul. Oh, David, he says, my heart is fixed, oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Oh, that is what the Bible says. Then shall the layman leap as the hart, and then shall the tongue of the dumb sing. How does that happen? How does that happen that the poor commits himself unto thee? You know how that happens? The Lord Jesus, he says, ye believe in God, believe also in me. That is now that second faith that takes place in the opening of the eyes of the blind. They are blind. Oh, they are not blind to everything. We have heard it. They are not blind to the demands of that law. They are not blind to the curses that are written in that book. But there is something for which they are so blind. Until the Lord, he says unto that people, he says, ye believe in God. He says, believe also in me. And he opens to them that new and that living way. All that is taking place in the opening of his word by the power of the Holy Spirit, that they may see what God has in his goodness prepared for the poor. For the poor, that they may see it. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And then he opens to them what they ought to do. He opens to them what they may do. He opens to them the warrant that they have to cast all their burden upon the Lord. For he careth for you. Do you know what he shows them? He shows them just for whom it is that Christ has come into this world. He shows them in their great need and in their experience of their poverty. He shows them for whom that he has come, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye, through his poverty, might be rich. Oh, he opens to them the sinless obedience, the perfect obedience of the Son of God for a poor sinner who was not able to keep one jot and one tittle of that law. Oh, then he shows them, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Oh, he shows them something of that debt and how that debt was paid. Oh, he gives a ray of light to fall upon that cursed tree, that they may see how that this man, he has done nothing amiss, that they may behold for a moment by the inshining of the Holy Spirit of the Lord a little light upon the sufferings, upon the mediatorial work of that only Son of God. He opens that, oh, maybe just a little bit. He opens something of it. And then you know what he says? He says, oh, ye believe in God, believe also in me. Oh, he declares to them, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel unto the poor. And then he invites them. He invites them unto himself to come just as they are, in all their poverty, without an attempt to make themselves one whit better in the sight of God. But he shows them that he sits and he eats with publicans and with sinners. And he opens to them the blessed suitability of the Son of God for a wretched and for a miserable sinner, even the suitability of a physician for one that is sick. The suitability of food for the hungry, of drink for the thirsty, of payment for a debt, of an ocean of grace for a fountain of iniquity. And he gives them congregation to believe. Oh, not only with that first faith, but also with that second faith. Not only that first object, you believe in God, but he gives them also, oh, maybe it is for but one moment, for one moment, that they may believe. also in him, that Son of God, that blessed mediator between God and man. And when the Lord opens this, then we read, the poor, so the poor hath hope. Hath hope. And then what? O congregation, then maybe it is just for a moment. Maybe just for a moment. But then, when the eyes are open, then that soul, then the poor, for a moment, may take that burden and they may cast it, or they may roll it, and they may commit it, or even if it is for one small moment, that they may commit it unto him, and then they may experience that he is taking up that debt, that he is taking up that burden. Do you know what they experience in that moment? In that moment, they experience an entrance into that rest that belongeth unto the people of God. Oh, an entrance, maybe so, so small, and yet it is an entrance. Oh, that they may see something, that they may experience something of that rest, or a rest from that demanding law, a rest from that avenging justice, a rest in a reconciled God, a rest by the spirit of adoption, whereby they say, Abba, Father. No, we do not say. We do not say that they experience all these things in one moment. And in that first moment, there are steps in these things because there is a revelation. There is also the application. But, actually everything is included in it. Even in that very first moment, every blessing that is received by that people is received by the poor when he may, by the grace of God, be given to commit himself unto him and to cast all his burden and all his debt and to experience something of the strength of that inexhaustible power, of the sufficiency of that blood that has been shed upon that cursed tree. O congregation, the poor committeth himself unto thee. Is there now a people for whom this is not a strange language? Next week, the Lord's Supper. And then it is necessary in the first place that we are not strangers of that first part. Strangers of that first faith. Of that first object of faith. We do not mean those that say, oh, yes, I am such a poor man. Because, congregation, we can make it into a condition. And we can actually be rich with our poverty. But I ask you, is there just a miserable people? Just a miserable people. And why miserable? Because I am without God, and I have no right to him. I deserve him not. I do not know how to receive him again. And from my sight, it becomes more and more impossible. That is, congregation, that misery. Oh, has the Lord ever, has he ever cast the smallest ray of light upon himself and his Son? Oh, even if you cannot own it, even if you cannot say that it is your own, even if you say, oh, I cannot embrace it, I cannot hold on to it. But did you ever see it? Through the lattice of his word, with an eye of faith, and in that sight, was your soul ever given in the smallest way to abandon, to forsake, to leave behind, and to experience what it is, even though you have received it back again after, when that faith was again gone, but now to experience for a moment what it is, to leave it there, and for him to take it up. Oh, is there in your heart that you say, I remember that day? Oh, could my soul experience more, a greater entrance into that rest that I have experienced for one moment in my life? Oh, could I experience more and enter more into that rest that belongeth unto the people of God? Oh, for such a people and for such a reason is that Holy Supper of the Lord instituted by the Lord himself. And therefore he commands that people, do this in remembrance of me. Necessary. Why? Because the Lord says, I will leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and a poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. I will leave them, that is his will, to the end of time. They shall always be there. That church militant, never to come above a poverty in themselves. And why? So that they may become less and less and nothing, and that he may become more and more and everything. Oh, there is a rest. There is a rest that remaineth unto the people of God. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. The Lord bless his word. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we can but only stumble. Lord, bring thy word into the hearts of each and every one of us. We cannot miss this. Oh, we cannot miss that rest. Remember those who are not strangers of it for a single moment. Oh, Lord, then we can read in thy word, it was the 10th hour. Lord, look upon that people, because there is so much that comes against it. But wilt thou bring them, when they cannot believe it anymore, and wilt thou bring them to thy table. And when it is the testimony of our heart before an omniscient God that we are a stranger, O Lord, keep us. And when it is that we have but that first faith, all that need, that impossibility, all give then. Give then also a waiting, give then also a crying, that we also may be given to enter into thy rest. Bring us safely to our places. Forgive our many sins. Bring us with desire in this afternoon to thy house. Help him that goes before us. For Jesus' sake, amen. 159, 1, 2, and 3. O God, regard my humble plea. I cannot be so far from thee, but thou wilt hear my cry. When I by trouble am distressed, then lead me on the rock to rest, that higher is than I. 1, 2, and 3 of 159.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Bless.